You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Dog Pound, if you're looking for a Browns pregame pate, Dog Pound Drive, the official Cleveland Browns pregame party, is back this season, and the party kicks off 3 hours before every home game on the south side of First Energy Stadium. Sorry for partying, folks. That's what you do at Dog Pound Drive. Why? Because you can enjoy beer. You can enjoy food trucks, music from DJs and live bands. Plus, you can catch the next Dog Pound Drive pregame party on Sunday, October the 18th. That's my father's birthday and also Vanessa Wilhelm's birthday.
Correct.
As well.
Yes.
Yes, a special day when the Cleveland Browns take on the Denver Broncos featuring DJ Step Floss and live music from Angry Young Men. Sounds like there's an angry man.
So wait, you're inviting us to come there, and then you're gonna have angry young men.
I hope they're not too angry.
No, there was a young.
There's an angry.
I'm gonna give my boys a shout out here once I know they're all out of school for balling last night.
Good, I like it.
Yes,
a balling shout out. Now the defense didn't necessarily go ball against the San Diego Chargers, so very curious to hear what Jim O'Neill had to say as he gets ready to take on the Ravens. Here is the Browns defensive coordinator.
All right, we'll go back to last week. Okay, I thought our tackling improved from the previous week. Our guys did a good job. I thought they brought that mindset that we talked about. I thought we had some guys really step up. I know Witt was challenged throughout the week, and I think he had his best game as a Cleveland Brown against the run. I thought Batty and Pierre did a good job when they were thrusted into a lot of playing time at the corner position. I thought Xavier Cooper did a great job for us up front when he was in there for Dez. And then Kirko really had his first full start with Craig being out, and he did some really good things for us at the inside backer position. Looking ahead to this week with the Baltimore Ravens, obviously it's our first divisional game of the year. We're excited about it. We know it's going to be a physical football game. We know it's going to come down to three or four plays, just like the two games last year. We know we got to execute at a high level to give our team a chance to win this football game. And we know the road to the playoffs goes through the division. It's always been that way in this league and in this division. So it'll be a great test for us as a team and as a defense. Questions?
Jim, you guys are still getting gashed by the big play, and I know that's been an emphasis for a couple weeks now.
Yep.
What more can you do? What else are you trying there?
Our plans have been tight. They're a lot tighter. I don't feel like I need to over-scheme against the offenses we're going against because we have good players at every level of the defense. Guys just need to do their job. We need to do a better job executing more consistently.
There have been a lot of long touchdown drives against you guys. Has there been a common, I think last two games, six touchdown drives, at least 70 yards. Is there a common cause?
Well, no. I mean, two games ago, some of those drives were the result of us not getting off the field on third and long. I mean, that always – you do a great job on first and second down. You expect to win on third and long. And then we lost in some of those situations. And then I think this past game, it was just, a bust here or there or not executing technique or maybe a play call. And, those guys hitting a play on us.
Has that been an emphasis with him?
We've challenged him with that, yeah. I mean, we want him to pop off the tape when he's in there. So, and he knows that, and it's good that he's saying that.
Jim, a couple of guys after the Chargers game talked about lack of variety in play calls and also whether or not it was easy for Rivers to decipher what you guys were doing. Now, I know Rivers is really adept at that, and that's obviously he's grown and doing that a lot. But when you hear those kind of comments, does that make you step back and evaluate, or?
No, I mean, I think that, we knew a lot of their calls, I mean, every week everybody has a base or a foundation to what they do. I mean, there's a reason we spend so much time up here in the offices and we spend so much time meeting with our players. And you're trying to give the guys the information on what is their base stuff. And then you have calls that complement that stuff. At the end of the day, though, it's an execution league. It doesn't matter. We're in man, we're in zone. They're passing the ball, they're running the ball. This is the pass they're going to run. At the end of the day, you got to execute it, okay? They did a better job executing their base offensive plays, all right, than we did executing our base defensive plays at times. End of story. I mean, that's where it starts and ends. The best defense in this league the past 2 years has been the Seattle Seahawks. They run the same defense every single play. It's an execution league.
Majority,
90% of the time. They did. They changed some. You know, they went to more 12 personnel, which is two tight ends, two wide receivers when Stevie Johnson went down. So, you know, there was a series where we were trying to figure out what they were going to do, and then once we got it going, we made adjustments and went from there.
Plays at Woodhead, is that what you're talking about? Losing technique or losing?
Yeah. Yes.
Did you feel it took you guys a while to adjust when they went no huddle, hurry up? You stopped them for the first series.
Yeah, I thought our guys came out. I thought we started fast. We went three and out, which was great, and that's always huge to do on the road. But I don't think we struggled to adjust. I think, you know, once we got settled in, you know, I thought our guys did a good job executing in that. They did a good job. We didn't do a good enough job.
This week to step up against the Ravens. What specifically do you want to see from those guys?
I want to see them roll off and attack the line of scrimmage.
Jim, going back to what Tremont was saying, I'm assuming it's kind of an open door. Like if players do have things like we need to communicate better with the coaches, I'm assuming you take suggestions or you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
When they come to you guys like?
I always have. I always will. Whether it's you'd be crazy as a coach in this league not to take information from players. I mean, they're out there, those guys, especially veterans, you know, and I'm constantly asking those guys. I over-ask those guys. What do you like? What do you think about the game plan? Do we have too many calls? Do we need another bullet in third down? You know, and then I constantly ask them throughout the course of the game. Is there anything you guys don't like? Is there anything you like? What are you seeing out there? I mean, to me, that's what a good coach does. I mean, you know, those are the guys out there. Those are the guys out there executing the calls. So you want to run with what they like and what they feel good about. So I'm in constant communication with everybody on our defense.
Is it any different this week than every
No, week, no, it's been the same. Those guys know. You know, we set the plan and we present it to them, and then I tell them if there's anything you guys don't feel good about, come see me, and I have no problem taking defenses out if you guys don't feel good about a call. And that could be a 10-year vet. It could be a rookie. We have enough stuff in our game plan that we feel is good that if we got to kill a call or two, we have no problem doing that.
What was your reaction in San Diego the moment you learned that Joe Hayden wasn't going to play? And then what was your attack when you found out?
I didn't have time to get emotional about it. It was my reaction to it was probably the same as it would have been if he got hurt the first play of the game. My call sheet ended up looking probably like a 2-year-old's coloring book, you know, because when you lose a great player that you built your game plan around, you got to make some adjustments. So fortunately, we were able to have an hour to make those adjustments versus, you know, maybe 5 minutes if it happens in game. But I thought our coaches did a great job. You know, we put in some calls. We took out some calls. We adjusted some packages. We obviously got Pierre and Batty ready to take on more of a role in a short amount of time. So I thought as a coaching staff, we did a good job kind of fighting through that adversity when that happened.
Now, you've explained a number of times, you know, why you would get other people other than the number 8 overall pick last year and so forth. But from the standpoint that Gilbert's a great athlete, he's picked so high, and people are interested in seeing him play and wonder why Ben Bosch would be playing ahead of him. Now, what's happening next with
the Here's the that's really easy, and I think you guys are looking too much into it. Last week, okay, we trained Pierre to back up Tremont at nickel. We only had one nickel, and it was Tremont. So Justin got all his reps inside on the slot. He was going to be our sub speed. All of our multiple DB packages, he was going to back up Tremont in the slot. Batty was going to back up both corners. He was going to back up Joe. He was going to back up Pierre. So that's how we practiced all week. So when the Joe thing happened, we were going to go with Batty because that was our plan all week. We weren't going to deviate from our plan, but we wanted to give Justin, you know, a couple series just to see where he's at. And then when me, Half, and Pet talked on the headsets, you know, just about how it was going, we just felt more comfortable with Batty just because he had gotten all the reps. There were some very specific play calls that we had in that week where Batty had repped it, Justin had not repped that stuff. So it was just that's how it fell. Batty did a great job while he was in there. Batty was playing well. He was playing well against a pretty good receiver.
How's Gilbert hanging with not being on the field? And is he going to be on the field on defense at some point as the season?
Yeah, if there's one thing I've learned about corner in this league is you're going to need them all. At some point this year, we're going to need all of them. And they all play huge roles for your football team at some point in the season. He's had three great weeks of practice. He really battled through the hamstring injury, which could have been a major setback for him. I thought it showed some toughness when he was up for us for the Oakland game. And, with him being a little hurt, he did a good job on special teams returning kicks. So I like the direction he's going.
I'm going to try to understand you. When you say you don't need to over-scheme on defense, the Seahawks play the same thing. It's an execution league.
Yep.
So are you putting it on these players that they have to?
No, I'm putting it absolutely not.
But when you say it's an execution league, it sounds to me like
it is an execution league. I mean, any sport at this level is an execution league.
But I mean, it sounds to me like you're saying.
No, I'm not saying that at all. If you know anything about me, that's not what I'm about. Okay, I'm saying that we know some of the stuff they're doing. They know some of the stuff we're doing. At the end of the day, it's the coach's job to put the players in position to make plays, and it's the players' jobs to execute. Okay, whoever does that better, the coaching staff and that and those players, usually win the game. That's all I'm saying.
Jim, we've asked Mike before, spending more time or less time with defense this year than he did last year. He said he's still involved. Do you notice any change in how much time he spends in those meeting rooms as opposed
no,
to last
year? No, I mean, the change with us, the time is pretty much the same. I just know last year he was wrapped up in a lot of the first year head coach stuff, trying to get a lot of stuff in the building right the way he wants it. You know, this year with all that time, now that it's his second year, he's spending it on offense. But as far as his role in the defense, it's been the same as it was a year ago.
That was defensive coordinator Jim O'Neill talking about why Justin Gilbert did not play, saying that he was backing up Tremont in the slot, not getting reps outside, and that Batty was getting those reps on the outside behind Joe Hayden and Pierre Desir. Still, to me, it still says Justin Gilbert should be getting all those reps, outside, inside, whatever.
And in this defensive concept, you have to be able to play every position, do you not? Joe Hayden can go inside, Tremont Williams can go inside, but you're telling me your eighth overall pick can't go inside?
Well, he was only inside. He wasn't.
But I meant
outside.
Okay, but then not go back outside. Outside should be like second nature.
Natural. Yes.
It's like making a layup.
Yes. They got to figure something out with them. And you know what's interesting? Somebody on Twitter pointed out right now, and I think it's worth bringing up. Chuck Deremmer, real Chuck D32, says last week it was the Johnny package that was talked about. This week it's Gilbert at wide receiver. It's not the offense that's the problem. Focus all the attention on what needs to be done to improve the defense of the Cleveland Browns, currently last in the NFL. They've got to get better. The talent is there. The coaching acumen is there. It's about execution. And Jim O'Neill said that over and over and over. As a player, when you hear your coach go out there and say it's about execution, what is he actually saying to you?
Be one, and I've said it before, be 1/11th. Do your job. That's it. Understand the scheme. Have watched film enough to understand the concepts that the Ravens and situations that they will create on certain downs and distances. And then just do your job. Be 1/11th. If it means stay outside, stay outside. You know, if it means play inside man technique, maintain inside leverage. Little things like that, because the players, the offensive schemes, and the offensive players have the advantage. As you mentioned earlier, defense is all reactive. If you do your job conceptually, you'll win more than you lose.
Right.
But every dog has his day. There are coverage beaters. But you have to find the right route and determine that coverage, and that's the chess game. But do your job. Be 1/11th and hold yourself accountable. Hold your teammates accountable.
Does that kind of a message resonate well, especially when you hear a guy like Tremont Williams saying that he felt Phillip Rivers knew exactly what they were doing?
Yeah, and I've actually put a text out to Phillip last night. He hasn't responded yet. I don't even know if he does. He knows I do this show, but I figured it's a great way for me to get some insider information.
You texted Mr. Rivers.
Yeah, yes.
Oh, wow.
I said, hey, buddy. I said, word is out that you, and I didn't say the Cleveland Browns stated. I just said, word is out that you knew, you know, where the blitz was coming from or what coverages we were in. You know, is that in fact true? And he hasn't responded yet.
Come on.
But he's a late texter. He's got, you know, 8 kids celebrating a victory. Now he's on to whoever they play next.
They were out there as I was doing my post-game video. They just all kind of emerged and were out on the field. It is quite the posse.
He'll have – he's what? Well, including him and his wife, they're one short of 11.
Yeah, they're one short of a side of the ball.
Yes, exactly.
Man, they're a full basketball team and backups.
There you go. Yeah,
they can go 5-on-5, the Rivers
family. They can.
Yeah, full court.
Good for him, though.
Good. Yes, good indeed. All right, when we come back, we will hear from John DeFilippo, the offensive coordinator of the Cleveland Browns, talking about his side of the football, which was incredibly impressive against the San Diego Chargers and the Browns' 27-30 loss last Sunday.